You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. As the legislature seeks to address sexual assault at Michigan State University, the Detroit Free Press is probing sexual harassment among employees in Michigan's prisons. The paper reports women who work for the Michigan Department of Corrections say even though the state pledged 30 years ago to end sexual harassment, it is still a problem. And so far, the department is refusing to share many details. Detroit Free Press reporter Paul Egan is with us now. Paul, you report this week that corrections employees filed 186 sexual harassment complaints between 2015 and 2017. So how many employees were actually disciplined following the complaints?
30 were, so a fairly small percentage of those.
And you filed a FOIA request with the Department of Corrections to learn what precisely?
Well, we filed a number of FOIA requests. Part of this started when we had specific reports of specific prison officials and asked for their discipline records and found that those would not be released. And since they weren't exempted under the state FOIA law, we found out that there was a special 1994 amendment to the Corrections Act that made all of these personnel records secret.
Do we know why that was passed?
We're not sure. What I'm hearing is that there was concern that prisoners, of course, prisoners are not allowed to file Freedom of Information Act requests anyway, but that there was some concern that if they found out about anything in somebody's personnel record that they could somehow use it against them. It doesn't seem like a very good argument, one, because prisoners are not allowed to file FOIA requests. Two, I mean, if you look at other law enforcement agencies like the Michigan State Police, for example, we're able to find out what state troopers are disciplined for.
You also checked around with other states. You looked at the 10 states closest to Michigan in population. And what did you find?
We found that in most of those similarly sized states, you would at least be able to find out if somebody had been found to have violated work rules related to sexual harassment, you would be able to find out who they are. And in Michigan, that's not the case. Of course, a lot of this comes out other ways, Cynthia, through lawsuits, or if you're just contacted by the victim, perhaps she can have records that she'll turn over to you. And sometimes if an employee gets disciplined and then they appeal the discipline through the civil service process, that also becomes a public record.
But this refusal to publicly disclose information, what is that saying about the department's sexual harassment problems? As you talk to experts, what did you hear?
Well, there is a general sense among many experts that when things are hidden, they are allowed to continue and to multiply. And one of the things that we have found from the records we were able to access is that supervisors that have been found to sexually harass subordinates, often if they are disciplined, they get a very short suspension. Often they're transferred to other facilities. One attorney compared it to the Catholic Church moving problem priests from one parish to another, where they are then able to harass an unsuspecting subordinate who's not aware of their past record.
In fact, your piece in today's Free Press kind of references a mostly male environment with a work culture similar to that blue wall of silence associated with police departments.
Yes, Cynthia, and that's the other part of this, is that women who do complain, we've found many cases where they are then retaliated against. There are so many work rules in the Department of Corrections, and so many of them can be subjectively applied and interpreted that, you know, basically, if a supervisor wants to write you up for something, they can.
So for women who have stepped forward and filed complaints, what are they watching over their shoulders? Is that the kind of stories you're hearing?
And sometimes literally, there are so many cameras in prisons. We actually heard of one supervisor who got in a little bit of trouble because he had been nonstop watching one female subordinate for his entire shift. And from what we understand, the reason he was watching her was to see if she possibly broke any rule that she could then be written up for.
Paul, any response to the stories you've been doing from state lawmakers, first of all?
A little bit. At least one lawmaker who's been pushing for changes, State Rep Jeremy Moss, who's been trying to liberalize our Freedom of Information laws. He said he's very concerned, you know, wasn't entirely aware of this amendment to the Corrections Act and that he thinks this needs a hard look. We've also heard from some others that just say that this is among a number of issues that they want to go over with the department director the next time they get a chance to talk to her.
What kind of response from the Corrections Department?
Generally, the director came out and said, you know, she really didn't deny anything in the story, but said that, you know, in general, that she does not tolerate sexual harassment and will not tolerate retaliation. On Friday, the day our first installment ran, she sent a memo to every employee in the Department of Corrections, kind of reiterating that, saying, look, the Free Press has a series going. I want you to know this is a serious matter, and we're going to take it seriously. But when you talk to many current and former employees, particularly women, they certainly don't see it that way.
As you've worked on this series of reports, Paul, what has jumped out at you the most?
I think what to me was the most interesting is how the Department of Corrections is so different from other state agencies because, you know, when you think about it, it's paramilitary. At one time, it was all men in these male prisons. There was a federal court order in 1980 that required them to start hiring women, and there was also an affirmative action order. And I think part of what happened here is you had, at that time, they were building more and more prisons. They were hiring more and more officers, and they hired many more women, and in some cases they were being promoted a little more quickly than these men. And I think there was an old guard there that just totally resented women being in the prisons at all. And some of this harassment, I think, is still related to that. And although many of those old-timers have now retired, those who are still with the department, some of them are in positions of high authority in the department now because of their seniority. And, you know, I should say that it only takes a minority of people who are harassers to make a very poisoned environment. And you know, many, I would say, you know, most of the department's employees, both regular rank and file and supervisors, are not guilty of this kind of conduct. But it doesn't take very many to make a work environment that can be quite hostile.
Paul Egan, Detroit Free Press. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.